Now, about 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 years ago, I was fortunate enough to be down in Florida to a convention. And they had an early bird meeting like this, they call it. And it was an audience participation program. And I liked it. I thought it was real good. It was over at Clearwater. And what is a meeting like this for anyway? It's kind of a get to know each other, kind of a get together, kind of let's get acquainted deal. It's while we're here. And have some good AA too. And these lights kind of have me blinding. I can't see very well from up here, but I do know we have people here from South Carolina, from North Carolina, and I don't know where else except Georgia, and possibly New York State, but I don't know any of the others, so I don't know how to get started except by just calling on somebody. And please, let's limit it to about 5 minutes so we can get as many in as possible. But, you know, they tell me that in Alcoholics Anonymous, we should treat other people, this is just a kind of a side deal, like we would want to be treated. That teaches, I think the program teaches that. But there have been some people that have been treating our part of the country like we didn't want to be treated. But I guess it's all right because they kind of come down. I don't know whether they came down or whether what happened, but a tremendous guy from our part of the country has come up in the middle of Georgia. And we kind of hate that, but naturally our loss, we feel like, is their gain. Rusty, come on up here and give us 5 minutes.
I'm Rusty Rushing, and I'm an alcoholic. Quit looking at your watch. You'll be sorry. These lights have me blinded, too. Other than being an alcoholic, I'm nervous. I don't think it will take 5 minutes for me to say what I have to say, except that I'm very happy to be here and very happy to have been asked to say these few words on this program of this AA Early Bird meeting, because this program of Alcoholics Anonymous is truly my life. Through people like you and God, as I understand Him, through His grace, I'm permitted to stand here tonight and look at you. A little over 4 years ago, I probably couldn't have stood here, and if I could, I couldn't have seen you. I had varicose veins and eyeballs or something like that. But it is indeed a pleasure for me to be here and to have had a little part in this 12th Georgia AA Convention. I thank you, and God bless each one of you.
Thank you, Rusty. There are so many people here. Several years ago, we ran into a gal. You know these women in AA, they just thrill me to death. Two ways sometimes. We ran into a gal up in North Carolina that I just thought was one of the best gal AAs I had ever come in contact with in my life. And I want her to come up here now. Frances, come on up here, gal.
I am an alcoholic, and that's the most important thing in my life, and it's something I can't change. Now, my name's not too important because I can change that any time I want to. And my full name is Sarah Frances Tackett Sullivan Barwick Surratt. I can't be cured of my alcoholism, but I'm cured of changing my name. I didn't know whether I was going to get to come down here to this Georgia State Convention, and I love the people in Georgia. I went to their convention in Savannah, and I slipped off and went to the one in Augusta last year, and I just love the people in Georgia. You've got AA down here that means an awful lot to me. You're so enthusiastic, and not that we don't have good AA in North Carolina, because we do. But there's some people in Georgia that mean an awful lot to me. Cornel and Louie and John and Dot, they haven't gotten here yet, but they'll be here. And Virgil and Margaret and Lillian, bless her heart. And I could just keep on naming so many more. And you just don't know how grateful that I am that I'm sober today and that I found Alcoholics Anonymous. And that I've got a boss that let me off to come down here. And that Willard and Bob let me ride with them. And that I'm going to be here for this wonderful convention. I'm so grateful that if I start talking about it, I'll start crying. And I'm not going to cry because I'm too happy. I know we're going to have a wonderful convention. And I wish I could tell each and every one of you how much I love you. That's something AA has given me, a capacity for love. And I love each person in AA very, very much. God bless each one of you.
Several years ago, down in Savannah, we had a fella that I guess he was, I don't know the man too well. He was a non-alcoholic as far as I know. And as I understand it, I might have it a little wrong, but this is the way I got it. He had an employer rather than, he was the employee. But the employee was worried about the employer's sobriety. So, the employee, I don't know why he didn't call the local group, but he didn't. He called a friend of his that he knew down in Florida who was in AA from Savannah. And this friend of his called a doctor friend of mine in Statesboro, Georgia. And this doctor friend in Statesboro called me, and I walked 2 blocks and made a 12-step call. So, that fella from Florida that received the first call, she had a night, and I wanted to come up and say something for us. Tom, come on up here.
Thank you very much, Cornel. My name is Tom Daly. I am from Florida. I'm awfully glad that Cornel asked me to come up. Now I can be truthful with the Internal Revenue when I write this off. But that was a long story that we made there, and that is one of the reasons why I'm so grateful to be here tonight and grateful to take part in any AA activity, because back in 1946, when someone took out a little time to help me, and thank God I haven't had a drink since, I have the privilege now of being an example whereby I can help people. This particular man that called me from Savannah happened to be a banker, and I owed him a lot of money. So he was keeping pretty close tabs on me. And unfortunately, the man that we called did not make it, as I heard tonight. But it is wonderful to be here with tonight. And I'd like to say one other thing. Our good friend John S. from Palm Beach wants to say hello. He's not feeling too good. He's under the weather. He couldn't make it. But he did want me to say hello to you. So thank you very much for asking me.
Well, how many of that? We've had three and we've gotten 4 minutes out of the three. So we get along all right. Now, you know, they tell me this disease of alcoholism is a family disease that the wife is affected, or the husband, whichever the way may be, that the children are affected, and as the last report I read, there's approximately 15 people affected by each practicing alcoholic. Now, the Al-Anon family group to me is an integral part of this recovery. So I don't see why I shouldn't mix some Al-Anons in with these AAs here tonight and make it a dual program. So right now, I'm going to call on Al-Anon. I'm going to call on one of the greatest Al-Anons I have ever known in my life. A gal that has gotten more out of the program of the Al-Anon program than anybody I know. And one of the sweetest Al-Anons I've ever come in contact with. And I'm going to call on my wife, whether you like it or not. Louise Cunningham.
This is the biggest shock I ever had in my life, I do believe. I am Louise Foy, and I'm a member of the Savannah Al-Anon group. In fact, I truly helped to organize the Al-Anon group in Savannah. And we have a real good group, I think. And going back, I can truly say that before AA or Al-Anon in our family, that I was, I believe, just as sick as he was. I didn't know that. I thought everything bad that happened to us happened because of him and his drinking, and that I was perfect. But when I came in the group, I came with him to the first meeting. And there really have been very few meetings that we have not been present at together. And I thank God that I was able to come with him to start with and to continue to follow through from the very beginning. And I do think that Al-Anons have to live by the 12 steps, because actually we don't have any more control over the alcoholic's drinking over the alcohol than he has. And I didn't realize this, because Lord knows I tried every way under the sun to control his drinking. And when I came into Al-Anon, I learned that I couldn't control his drinking no matter how hard I tried. That I couldn't tell him when to drink or where to drink or how much to drink. And I'd been trying to do that for years. But anyway, I was truly a nervous wreck when I came in. And it has really done me an awful lot of good. And I have learned to have true faith since I've been in this program. And with my recent illness, I don't believe that I could have ever faced my problem without the love of all AAs and Al-Anons that we know and love so dearly. Thank you, dear.
She's changed a lot.
I ain't kidding you.
Several years ago, down in Savannah, old gal came in the group, and she was an awful sight. And I have the greatest respect in the world, no kidding, for this gal, because she was raised with a silver spoon in her mouth, and all of a sudden, when you never had to hit a lick at a black snake or anything else, and all of a sudden you're out and you're gone and do it yourself, and you wake up and you haven't got anything, anybody, anything, anywhere, and all your children have forsaken you. It's rough. It's real rough. But this gal picked herself up by the bootstrings, and she got busy, and she got sober, and she got real good and sober. And she left our part of the country, and she came to Macon, and she left Macon, and she went to New York. And the poor boy got in trouble up there. And most of you know who I'm talking about, but I'm not going to call on her. Bill Thorne up here.
If I had known I was going to be called up here tonight, I wouldn't have finished my dinner with that strawberry shortcake. I'm that poor boy from Buffalo, New York. I might identify myself in this manner. My name is Bill McCall, from Buffalo and the Amherst Snyder Group of AA. And to some of you people down here, you might classify me as a robber. I'd heard so much over the years of the wonderful peaches that grew in Georgia. But I also heard that the women were all peaches also. And I believe, in the deepest recess of my heart, that I stole the sweetest peach of all. 5 minutes is too little, and it could be too long. I have been sober, and this is only for anyone who is new, comparatively new in the program, 12 and a half years. People said when I came in that this would be an impossibility for me to stay sober. But it happened. And it happened in the only way it does in AA all over the land and all over the world, by the wonderful example of the men and women who went ahead of me. And this I latched onto. And this has been my life-saving all the way through. And is as much today part of my program as it was when I first came in, this wonderful example. Henry Drummond wrote a book, The Greatest Thing. The three greatest things was faith, hope, and love. And this is what I found in AA, the love of one alcoholic for another, the wonderful bond which you feel at an AA meeting. When you walk into an AA room, you are understood because the alcoholic understands the other alcoholic. Now, AA has been doubly good to me. It gave me my sobriety, and it gave me the opportunity to give my first wife 11 years of happiness, where before I had given her 25 years of complete hell. I lost my wife in May of last year, and I went through hell again for 5 months. But AA stood me instead, and the wonderful AA friends that I had in Canada and New York State. And lo and behold, I was given a second opportunity for happiness. On September 7th, Labor Day last year, I attended an AA meeting at the Salvation Army Men's Social Center group, and there I met the speaker of the evening, my beautiful and wonderful Peg. I made a date with her, and I married her 32 days later. Slip of the tongue, I'm an alcoholic. But I believe that if I had lived with the 32 years, I wouldn't have known any more than I do now. Because from the wonderful friends that she has in Georgia, Florida, and all over the states, I have learned about my pay. Now, I will turn this meeting back to Cornelius and thank him very much for calling me. And I hope that I have said enough that will bring me close to your hearts, as I am to all my AA friends. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
Let's go back to another Al-Anon now. Thank you, Bill. Not too long ago, I was at a meeting down in a little town out of Macon, and this fella came in the meeting, and he appeared to be all upset. He said his wife was after him. And I don't think he meant it exactly the way he said it, but because I think this gal's a good Al-Anon. But she might still be after him a little bit, but I want to find out more about it. Ferris, how about coming up in and telling us about it?
I think you scared me half to death. Just whipped me that night and everything. Well, I am Ferris Lester, and the wife of an alcoholic, an Al-Anon, member of the Smakin' group, and the Warner Robins group. And real happy and real grateful to be here. I honestly think that truly I am the happiest person in the world. We're talking this afternoon about just riding in from the airport just 2 years ago, less than 2 years ago, what we would be doing or what we were doing then. So confused, so miserable, so mixed up. And just with no place to go, none. And just look at today. Just look. The happiest day, I'm sure, I have ever spent. And it's through all of you and your love, your help, that you have given us, absolutely given us, our very lives back. And for that, we're so thankful. And so grateful. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yes, tremendous. Well, over in South Carolina, I went over there one time to an AA meeting. And I met a fella, and somebody said his name was Foy. Well, I said, that man can't be kin to me. And later on, I found out that there's a little stealing going on in his family. So I know he wasn't related to me. He might have been to me, but he wasn't to my family. BC, come on up here and tell us how things over around Early Branch.
My name is BC Foy, and I'm not an alcoholic. I'm just a sober drunk. No, my nose is not bleeding. That's just my necktie. I've been to several Georgia State conventions, and I've thoroughly enjoyed every one of them. I'd like to say at the beginning that I'm in my 11th year of sobriety, for which I am very grateful. You know, I've been accused of being retired. Well, I guess that's true in one sense of the word, but I'm in the honeydew business. And every time I take to the rocking chair, the first thing you know, Miss Allen will say, "Honey, do this. Honey, do this." There you go. Not long ago, she told me one morning I was resting very comfortably, enjoying myself, reading a magazine. She come out and says, "You know, we got some company coming this afternoon." I said, "Uh-huh." She says, "Honey, do mow the lawn." The lawn got mowed. While I'm up here, I would like for all of you to meet, better known in South Carolina, our area, is Miss Anna. Miss Anna, won't you stand up, please? Thank you, Cornel. That's about all I have to say. I'm happy to be here. I'm looking forward to having a wonderful time at your Georgia State Convention. Thank you.
Some time ago, our wife, Louise, now over in South Carolina, and we met a gal over there that we just thought was a tremendous Al-Anon. And I'm going to ask her to come up here. Now, Margaret Harbin, come on up here.
My name is Margaret Harbin, and I am the wife of an alcoholic. I am also, of course, an Al-Anon. And for this, I'm most grateful. This is a family disease, although I'm afraid sometimes the alcoholics don't recognize the fact, and sometimes we non-alcoholics married to alcoholics do not recognize this fact. I know it took me a long, long time to realize that there was anything the matter with me or that there possibly could be. I know when we first went into AA, or my husband did, I'd sit back there and I'd look up at those steps and I'd read them and I'd read the Serenity Prayer and I'd think, boy, this is just what he needs. And I thought, I do all these things already. Well, years passed by. In fact, about 11 years passed by and we had more problems at our house. And a friend kept after me to come to Al-Anon. And because she kept at me, I went to satisfy her, and strangely enough, as I listened, I learned so many things were wrong with me that I never would have believed possibly could have been. And certainly the Al-Anon program has meant, oh, just more than I can express. It's kind of like looking in a mirror, you know. You look in the mirror every day, and you look the same to yourself. And then all of a sudden something happens that makes you realize you're not 16 any longer, you're closer to 60. For instance, I applied for a position. It wasn't a job, it was an honorary sort of thing. And I had to have a recommendation, and this man wrote this letter, and he said in this several flowery things about me, but the only thing I remember was that it said, "Mrs. Harbin is a middle-aged lady." Well, I didn't think I was middle-aged, but suddenly it dawned on me that I was. And that's the way Al-Anon did for me. It taught me that there were so many things in my life I needed to change as we studied the steps and tried to apply them to our lives. One other thing I'd like to say, and that is that we as AAs and Al-Anons need to work more closely together. I want to tell you one little incident to prove my point. Several years ago, the telephone rang and an Al-Anon answered the phone. An AA was on the other end of the line and he lived about 12 miles away in another little town. And he said, "I wonder if you could get someone and go and call on the wife of a drunk that's up here on the chain gang." He had become involved with some woman because he was drunk and didn't know what he was doing. And at least that was his story, and he stuck to it. And so this friend said, yes, that she would go, and so she called me, and we went. Well, we went to this house, and this little boy answered the door, and we went inside, and there were several other little children around, and he said, we told him who we wanted to see, so he said, well, I'll call my sister. And so his sister came out. It turned out she was living in the home, had gone back to her mother who had several children. This girl had several children, and she was expecting another child. She was the most forlorn, pitiful figure I've ever seen in my life, I believe. And we sat down and we talked to her, and she said, mm-hmm, and uh-uh, and that was about all. We told our story, and we invited her to Al-Anon, and we left. And we didn't expect to ever see her again. But she called and said she would like to come to the meeting, and so we arranged for her to come. About 3 weeks ago, I saw her husband, still sober, in one of the groups there around Columbia. And about a year ago, she said to me, as we washed dishes in the kitchen, oh, it's so wonderful not to get real upset every time my husband is a little late coming home. And so you see, if we just work together a little more closely, we could just accomplish so many more miracles. Let's try to do that. Thank you.
Getting back to North Carolina, there's a guy in the audience tonight. Louise and I have learned to love him very much in the last few years. I don't know exactly how to explain him, but I don't know exactly what's going on, because he wanted to sit on the front row tonight, and he is the present delegate to the big office from North Carolina. But the elected delegate from Georgia wouldn't let him sit on the front row. But anyway, Harry, come on up here.
I'm just going to cut you out of cigars for that. My name's Harry Barrett. I'm an alcoholic from Charlotte. I have a few remarks about the good state of Georgia and the fine city of Macon. I was introduced to Georgia some 27 or 8 years ago when I came to Mercer in law school. And after 3 years, I left in 1939. And I made my first Georgia convention in Augusta last year. And I told my wife and many others that I'd never miss another Georgia convention. In those 3 years that I was at Mercer, I can truthfully say I never found any people any friendlier than the people right here in the heart of Georgia. And I fell in love with Georgia and Georgians those 3 years. And I feel like the prodigal son, after living in a riotous, wasteful way, returning home, because I've always considered Georgia my second home. And as we started in the hotel, I, of course, couldn't help but look up, and I saw that Dempsey Tavern sign. And I want to tell you folks, I made a real good down payment on that place down there in the 3 years that I was here. I was also thinking on the way down here, driving, beautiful, bright, sunny day. And I thought to myself, how fortunate we are to be in AA, to be exposed to the 12 steps, to know what's wrong with us, and to have a program of recovery, second to none.
What a fellowship. I'm glad to be here. Thank you, and God bless you.
I see a little old boy from Swainsboro, Georgia, sitting back. No, I don't know where he's from Swainsboro or not. He lives right in that neighborhood somewhere, though. And he's a tremendous guy to me. One of these tremendous days. Hey, Smitty, come on up here. Give us 5 minutes.
Hello, everybody. My name is Elder Smith. I'm an alcoholic. I live at Wadley. I'm a member of the Swainsboro group. I came in AA 5 years ago, and I'm telling you, this is a wonderful program, which you people know. And I don't think there's anybody in here that has gotten any more out of AA than I have and my people. And I sure thank this program and you people for giving me this new way of life.
I met a fellow this afternoon. I've seen at 2 or 3 conventions. And he's always got a smile on just about that broad. I think he feels just like I do when he gets to a convention. He's just so grateful. He's so happy that he's sober. He's so grateful that he's found a way for a release from alcoholism. Until he just gets to the point when we get to this convention, don't know what to do with ourselves. Where's Bill? Bill P. from Dillon.
Thank you, Corneal, for that wonderful introduction. And I can assure you that I would feel much better sitting out there reaping more of this program instead of trying to carry the message. I belong definitely on the receiving end. I didn't tell you, I am Bill Porter, and I'm a nervous, sensitive, emotional, and perhaps nutty alcoholic. I don't know so much about a sober alcoholic. I have been successfully working this program for a little over 39 months. And thanks to people like you and AA, you have shown me how to work and to take the necessary steps not to drink. And I really feel out of place up here. Being the rookie that I am in AA, when I see so many of you out there that have meant so much to me, and I have learned so much from about this program, I just know that I'll never know all the answers. However, I was told early in AA that you never said no. And of course, I had to say no for some time. And I'm going to be nervous the rest of my life, and I've learned to live with that too. I'll never be a speaker. I have no aspirations to be a speaker. But I do have a desire to stay sober. And to me, this is the way. I heard Dr. Pierce Harris at a revival at my church once say he had never heard a sermon that he didn't get something out of, although he had had some narrow escapes. He said he had never heard a sermon that he didn't get something out of, regardless of what kind of language or whether a person used the most correct English. He said, I'd rather hear a person say, I seed, if he seed something, than to say I saw and not have seen anything. So that was great encouragement to me. I thought since I had seen so many things that weren't even there, that didn't qualify me to talk and certainly not preach. And I guess some of you possibly wonder about my sobriety, so don't worry about that. I wonder about it too. And to cite an instance of what this program is meaning to me continually, just the past couple of weeks, I've realized that I've had many, many emotional jags recently, and it's just wonderful to know what that condition was. And maybe now that I know, I can do something about that too. And I wish I could put into words my true feelings for the program of AA. But to me, this program has meant life itself. And how do you say thanks for that?
I'm going to do it anyway, because there's so many of you here that don't know her, haven't met her. And you know, Bill's a nice guy. Peggy, come on up here.
Hi, everybody. My name is Peggy McCall. I'm an alcoholic. I thought Cornel was going to let me out of this. I love every one of you. You gave me so much. Each one of you. You know. You gave me life itself. You gave me the courage to go on working. You gave me the courage to go to Buffalo. You gave me faith that there was a life waiting within AA, and there was. I had no idea a month ago when I went to Louisiana to work on Red Cross disaster again, because Betsy left a mess down there, that it would bring me back to the state convention. And I was in a little meeting, an AA meeting in the bayous. All of a sudden I thought, great heavens, it's October. And I said, give me a grapevine, and they did. And it just worked out that way, and here we are. I'm awful glad to be here. I thank every one of you for the life and the love and the faith and the courage you've given me. And I'm glad you love Bill.
Tremendous gal.
This morning I left Savannah at 9 o'clock. I was coming straight to Macon. And I had to come through Statesboro. I got here at 3:30. We got to Statesboro. And there's a doctor that practices medicine there sometime when he doesn't interfere with his AA work. And I told Louise, Louise told me, he said, let's stop by this doctor's office, and if he's not too busy, possibly have a cup of coffee with him. So we went in, they had an office full of patients, and we asked his receptionist if he was in. She said yes. We were standing there talking to her, admiring some flowers. Somebody had sent him. Dot, I don't know whether he's something you knew about that or not. One of his patients had sent him some flowers. She said, let me call him. She called him. He came out there. All the patients sitting right there watching him. He says, good, I'm glad to see you. Y'all come on back. I got somebody I want you to meet. We went back in his office, and there was this poor soul back there. He had him spread out on the bed, and he was about to shake to death. The rest of these patients out there, they could just go too, right at that particular time. He had his tape recorder out there, side of the table. He ties them to the table, and they have to listen, whether they want to or not. So, he had his tape recorder out there. He had this boy in the bed shaking. Says, y'all just in time. I want you to meet him. Fine fella back here. Come on back. So we went back, and we met him, cut him up, got him out of the bed, and he shook up to the coffee room, and we sat down and drank coffee. And I imagine sometime during the day, those poor people who are waiting to see him got to see him. John, come on up here and give us about 5 minutes.
Hi, everybody. Thank you, Cornel. You know, that was funny this morning, but... I beg you. My name's John Mooney, and I'm an alcoholic. Let me get that in you first, because you never guess it, see? I had this guy, and he was drunk, you know, and I was telling him I couldn't go to the meeting with him tonight because a good friend of mine was going to be chairman, and I was going to have to go up there to hear him with this meeting tonight. And by golly, about that time, Cornel walked in, so he got to meet him, and Cornel, the fellow, stayed sober all day, and he's going to the 12-step group tonight. And so he might be here Saturday, see, where you get to see him again, I hope so. But it's a real pleasure to be here. I just, Dot and I just came in. Sorry we were late, but I'm glad we got here anyway. And I hadn't really planned to say anything. I got a new joke, but I'm supposed to be a chairman sometime, and I'm going to save it for that meeting. there's nothing in the world that means as much to me as AA. I think that when I tried to stay sober and practice medicine, and then look after my sobriety as much as medicine would allow, I stayed drunk all the time. And now I try to practice as much medicine as AA will let me do, like Cornel said, because, by golly, I'd get drunk and die if I didn't. So I want to keep it this way. It's real good to be here. I love every one of you. We'll be seeing more of you. Thank you.
John, I messed up. I didn't know you was chairman any time. I wasn't intending to call on any chairman.
This has been, to me, this is a good beginning. A good beginning. And I don't want to take up any more time because I want us all to get together. And I think we have been to the place where we kind of know each other now. You got to know some of the ones possibly that you didn't know. I see one of the speakers in the audience. I don't, or some of the rest of them may be here, but I want you to meet this particular one. Wesley, stand up. Wesley P. from Florida. So let's now arise and dismiss this meeting by praying together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.